Hello, 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 and welcome to the next episode of the Shane Walsh podcast. So today's episode is one of those episodes that could have gone on for 2 to 3 hours. And that is why I've asked Kayleen to actually come in and talk to my clients in the next few weeks in May. Kayleen is coming in to talk to my one-to-one clients and to my group clients on the Female Fat Loss Program to have a discussion. So Kayleen Conway is a performance nutritionist based up in Northern Ireland, and she is the owner of Be Better You. And Kayleen and her approach to nutrition, her approach to life, approach to training is pretty incredible. And it's the information she has is very, very relatable, and the information she puts out there is very, very simple. It's not overcomplicating it, because people are can be very good at complicating nutrition. So a lot of the things that we kind of talk about in today's episode is in that relation of her background, why the extremes when it comes to dieting are really, really easy. We talk about why we need to rely on non-scale victories. We talk about that whole element of body checking and those impossible beauty standards that people can have. And we also talk about a load of different topics. To be honest with you, I sent over questions to Kayleen before we started, and about two of them are actually asked in this. So I really, really hope you enjoy the episode with Kayleen Conway. And as always, please leave a review up on iTunes and Spotify. Hello, hello, hello. So this is not an episode. This is a service announcement. No, what I'm going to talk about today is the Female Fat Loss Program now is open for applications. So what we have seen over the last year and a half of the Female Fat Loss Program has been pretty freaking incredible. There's a reason why 80% of people who do the Female Fat Loss Program do another one, because it works. I'm not making up those stats. I can show you stats. I can show you Excel sheets with all the information and data in them. So the Female Fat Loss Program is a unique program in that it's going to help you achieve the results you want in 8 weeks. It's going to improve your relationship with food, get rid of all that all or nothing approach, that accountability piece that you're looking for, a group of like-minded people in a Facebook group. It will give you the tools to keep the weight off. It will help you to drop food guilt forever. You'll have weekly lives. You'll have tailored nutrition, tailored calories. You'll have a judgment-free area. You'll have workouts for gym or at home, that you'll be able to do your own training as well if you want to. But the most important thing is, this is a program or a product that I'm extremely proud of. It's something that is unique, and it's incredible to have Alyssa on board now that is going to help me work with the clients and do the lives that are happening on every Tuesday. So what is the program? 8 weeks of coaching, tailored nutrition, tailored training, recipe books, weekly lives, Facebook group, all or nothing mindset, goodbye. So the first thing that I want to say is, there is an early bird offer. For anyone who's listened to the podcast, there's an early bird offer for you. The early bird offer is, will get 20% off. So as a podcast listener, you get 20% off. So normally it is €149 for 8 weeks, where you get weekly check-ins tailored to you, individual check-ins tailored to you, for 149. But you get 20% off that, so it comes down to €99 for 8 weeks. Every single time I've done this program, it sells out. I can already see from the amount of people that have signed up, and it isn't even advertised, that this is going to sell out like there's no tomorrow. So if you're interested in signing up around this payday for yourself and spoiling yourself and doing something for you, knowing that in April, getting yourself ready for that summer holiday that you have, and you're knowing you're in safe hands, click on the link in the show notes and be the first person to book your spot. It's €99 for 8 weeks to change your life. Drop food guilt forever, get rid of all that or nothing mindset, get the results that you've never had before, and improve your relationship with food, and stop that yo-yo dieting background that you've done. €99. I don't think it's going to get much better. So before I go into today's episode, I just want to give you a quick little update that there is a free resource on how to lose weight without tracking calories. It's a free ebook. It's 9 pages. It's been created by myself, and it's a really useful step-by-step approach on how to do that. MyFitnessPal is a great tool. Those apps are a great tool in the right hands. A hammer is a great in great tool in the right hands, but you wouldn't give it to a child. Now, counting calories is an amazing tool, but not everyone should be doing it. If it's a whole point that you don't count on weekends, maybe it's a point that you don't count when you've gone over your calories, or you don't count when maybe you've snacked a little bit more, that's a sign that MyFitnessPal isn't the right tool for you, and you probably need to learn how to do it without it. There's a reason why 85% of my one-to-one clients, whose photos you can see up on my social media and the transformations that they've had from mental health, relationship with food, the transformation photos that they have, that's because they've learned how to eat for themselves. So this could be the most important ebook that you've ever downloaded. So if you're looking for a free resource, click on the link in the show notes, download your free copy, and I hope that you enjoy it. Kayleen, how are we?
Hello, what's the crack?
We have nearly forgot to press record. We've been here for an hour talking about life. literally talking about everything. So thank you for coming on. For anyone who doesn't know who you are, what you do, give us a little bit of about your background.
Well, I hope I don't talk too much about the background. So I'm a performance dietitian, and I suppose probably the main thing is, what's the difference between a dietitian and a performance dietitian? So I went to university and I did my undergrad in dietetics, and then to do the sports, because I do know a lot of people actually want to get into that sort of sports realm, I did my a postgraduate diploma. You can do the master's, but I actually didn't need to do the master's. So I was like, if I don't need to do another dissertation, I'm absolutely not doing one. So okay. I just did, no way, least barriers possible. So I did my postgraduate diploma in sports and exercise nutrition, and I did that while I was working in the hospital as a dietitian, because it was actually distance learning with Ulster University, so you could do it from home without having to go up. So I was able to keep my job, do it full time, and do the course full time as well. And so that kind of made me have my little performance dietitian title. And I suppose if you don't know, I have my little page Be A Better You on Instagram, and then I do TikTok as well, but it's mostly about Bridge, it's not just about nutrition. I think that's probably my biggest thing when I started the page, was that I had suffered an awful lot with my own mental health. And whilst I was doing dietetics, it's not like I had this master plan to have the business and do what I'm doing now. When I was going through university and doing dietetics, I just assumed I was just going to be working in the hospital. Because that's typically what your main course would be with dietetics. That's majority rule where you would end up going. But when I was going through with my mental health, I kind of realized actually there's a massive connection between everything. And I don't think I knew that when I was younger. I thought it was just nutrition's one aspect, training's another, and your mindset literally wasn't even involved. When I was younger, it just wasn't a thing that we thought about. Just get on with it. And I think maybe that's just Irish culture as well. And then realized, okay, actually, it's how you actually feel inside. At the end of the day, there's that many of us now that are given nutritional information. It's what is stopping you from actually being able to apply those things on your day-to-day basis and making those daily habits that are small changes, educating you properly on what you actually need, and then also bringing in the training and the movement. So I'm a CrossFit coach now as well. But I suppose even thinking about where I started, I played football up until 2021 for County and Tyrone. But when I started to go to the gym a bit more by myself, when I was kind of referring back to my mental health being really poor when I was in university 4 years ago, I literally could not get myself to go into the gym. It was one of the tasks I had to do with my therapy. One week he was like, right, you're going to go into the gym this week. And I remember pulling up in the car, sitting outside the gym for a full hour, just watching people get out of the car, walk in. And I was like, right, come on, you can do this. Get out of the car. And I got out of the car and I immediately got back in the car and went home and cried. And I was like, why can't I get myself to go in here? That's how in poor of a mental state I was at the time. And I can never really put into words how bad it was. But even when I think about that now, and the fact that I take inductions in a CrossFit gym where I'm meeting people that are coming in for the first time new, I'm just feel like it's all kind of come full circle. But the main goal of the page and kind of what I'm doing now is to translate. Obviously, as a dietitian, your goal is to be able to translate the science of nutrition into something that is applicable and easy to digest, no pun intended. But also just combining that with, it's not just eat this and don't eat that. It's understanding your brain. How can we make that better? How can we make your thoughts a better place? And just your experience in the world a better place to be. So, gosh, that was quite the ramble.
We're talking off air, though. This isn't a question that I sent you over. Do you think we overcomplicate food as a concept, as humans?
100%. But I do think, right, and this is something I'd actually seen, I'm chronically online to my own dismay, but a lot of the stuff that you would see on TikTok is, and we had kind of briefly said this beforehand, is people are trying to sell stuff often. That is a lot of what people are doing on social media when they have some form of platform. And I think the issue with that is we're all trying to find different ways to sell stuff, like the same thing packaged up in a different wrapping paper, do you know? And so people then will use more complicated language, will use the scientific terms to make things seem more complicated or make you feel like what is simple doesn't work. But often the things that we've tried before, if we even think about sort of that older generation and ourselves coming through, what we were fed when we were younger was restriction, was everything's about losing weight, everything's about cutting out carbohydrates, which we all know now is not the case. But again, people are still trying to sell that narrative in a different wrapping paper now. If it's keto, if it's what other diet, if it's you, carbs aren't essential to your life, all these different things. It's like understanding that, yeah, that might be a scientific way of doing it to the tiniest degree, but we are still trying to actually live a life here and have quality of life and have fun. So it's understanding that it is the simple things, but it's doing that consistently. And then what are your habits? What's your identity? Do you identify as someone that finds that lifestyle easy for you? That is what your lifestyle is someone that gets up every day, eats healthy, does enjoy the odd drink or enjoys the odd meal out, but still goes and trains? Or do you find that actually, okay, I'm quite a sedentary person. Oh, I've always found losing weight quite difficult, or that's just something that's always been really, really hard for me to do. And if that's what you believe, well, that's what's going to happen. The same way, like if you focus on, like, let's even run it back to football. Like if I thought for a day when I'm sitting in that change room and I was going out to play like an All-Ireland final, and if I was going out even a little bit thinking in my head, I'm not going to beat this marker, this person's going to beat me. Well, no matter how much I tried to convince myself then, that's probably what's going to happen, because that's what I told myself was going to happen. So it's understanding, that's why it's about, we need to change up here. And even if we have the knowledge, but changing up here to understand it is simple, but it's about your identity change. That's probably why it hasn't worked for you before, the simple things, because you haven't given yourself long enough as a lifestyle, as being a human being, to be that way long enough to actually see the changes and the benefit from that. And that's why you kind of keep going back to those more complicated, restrictive, sort of really over-exaggerated things that we think, okay, well, that might work, when actually it's not sustainable. It's not going to improve your overall life. Do you know that kind of a way?
Yeah, it makes massive sense. Like, the extremes are so, so easy to go for, because mm-hmm. often it's actually how we're feeling about ourselves is projected onto the actual diet and stuff that we go for. So when you talk about maybe, when people are kind of talking about maybe going for a 6-week summer shred, keto, mm-hmm. kale diet, whatever it may be, it's kind of like, that's gonna work to a point, but it's never gonna address another identity thing that you kind of spoke about there. It's like, if you identify as an emotional eater, mm-hmm. you emotionally eat. You doesn't say it on your passport, here is X person. So if you identify as that person, you're gonna act like that person. It's exactly what you just said. And I think a lot of people can kind of say, well, I'm a yo-yo dieter, or I'm a slimmer person, or I'm a keto person, and that whole tribal thing mm-hmm. is really bad on social media.
Oh, massive. And even they haven't, like, if even some people might have started their journey with that, but then they kind of move through and they realize, actually, well, this isn't who I am anymore. But then they almost keep doing that because that's what maybe they built
it's easy
their thought process on. There's so many different wee ways to look at it, but even kind of come back to what you said there, how you feel then obviously reflects the action that you take. So if we feel really bad about ourselves, we feel like we need a really extreme course of action to take that. So that might be completely removing carbs, completely removing sugar, going overly restrictive, and just for that period of 6 to 8 weeks, whatever you feel like you can stick at that with, that feels like, okay, I've made extreme change here, so I'm going to feel extremely better, which is not the case, because at the end, the stuff that you didn't process properly at the beginning is still going to be there. Now, to add on top of that, you have a poor relationship with food along with that. Now your body image is even more distorted because you might have done something like a very restrictive diet, did get very lean and shredded with that, but that is not sustainable, and you didn't get there in a whole way. And something I always talk about, even when I do like my talks and stuff, is your health. And often we look at health as what somebody looks like, their shell, what they're wearing on a day-to-day basis and what we're seeing. You have no idea what that person is thinking. You don't know that if you go for lunch with that person, that they're literally going to think about this meal for the rest of the week, because they said, this is the first meal that I've had where I'm actually eating out and I can't track this properly. Like, that could have been the last thing that they wanted to do, was actually eat that meal in front of them, or they pick something, they ask how it's cooked, they pick the leanest thing that they think they can find on the menu, or they actively just won't eat for the rest of the week because they're trying to compensate for the fact that they had that one meal. But you look at them and you think, Jesus, she looks well today, doesn't she? And you think they're healthy, but their nutrition's not really in a good place, their mindset's probably not in a good place, just because their body looks a certain way doesn't even mean that that's healthy either. There's just so many different wee aspects that we need to start looking at. Longevity, what way we're going to be when we're older, and something actually we don't think about an awful lot is bone health. And when we kind of refer back to those restrictive diets, you're going to be deficient in something. Losing weight isn't always just like the epitome of health. That's not the case. Yes, sometimes losing weight is going to make you metabolically in a more healthier state, but we can do that in a sustainable way as a lifestyle rather than doing it short term, super fast, and then actually affecting our overall health shorter term. So something like, for example, even a lot of the athletes that I would see, like a lot of the girls that might have got into something like CrossFit, or they're starting to go to the gym a bit more, they're actively increasing their energy levels, but their nutrition has not been brought up to meet that, because they might start seeing something like weight change, or they might start building a little bit of muscle. But now, after 2 or 3 months, they're still not increasing that. But their BMR, their overall energy expenditure, is so high that we have this massive gap between where they're actually going to be. That done over time, all of a sudden, their energy levels are going to actually start going down, because they're going to start being deficient probably in iron. Then they might actually find that over time, their bone health, typically when we're deficient in something like your calcium and your vitamin D, and you're doing that weight training, think of the stress fractures that you could be causing with your bone health. They're starting to get more porous, getting all these little holes. And that's something you would see in someone who's maybe older. Do you know, osteoporosis, osteopenia? But we don't realize the damage that we're doing now, that actually by the time you get to your 50s, you hit menopause, your estrogen hits the floor, you're just going to be accelerating the fact that your bones are already in a bad condition. So that could be really affecting your quality of life when we're later. So it's not even thinking about where we're at now. It's like, okay, well, what am I actually going to be like in 50 years? Am I still going to be going in these cycles, going back and forward? Or can I actually just think about it now, maybe take the slightly longer route at the beginning, but then make that a lifestyle that I don't even have to think about it in the future, because it's just who you are. Do you know that kind of a way?
Yep.
Gosh, I have half on one there. Apologies.
No, but it makes complete sense. And I think a lot of people do think that like health is what a metric is on a weighing scales. And it's like, well, I always kind of say it to clients of like, you weighed less before and you still weren't happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the weight that you're looking for. It's a feeling that you're looking for.
Yeah. 100%.
And it's the weight, the body you're looking for, whatever that looks like, is completely different from to Karen, to Sharon, to whoever it is. And it's often going to weigh a lot more than you actually realize. And I think that's a hard thing for people to kind of accept. And you can only ever accept it when you get to that point. Like mm-hmm. Whenever I get messages from clients, it's never about that's like, something just clicks with them on holidays of like, I actually get to have food meals out with my family and not feel guilty, or a big pack of socks and custard, or I get to actually have no food guilt, or I get to have these things rather than feeling, how do I cut back? How do I compensate? How do I restrict? I even had a conversation with a client this morning. A lot of stuff was going on in their lives, and it's kind of like, well, what's the one thing you can control right now? And she's like, I can create a little bit of structure for me. And mm-hmm. then she was like, now I get it. Now yeah, I get
simple,
it.
Simple, something small.
Yeah, something small. Like the chaos, like your brain loves chaos,
mm-hmm.
but it does not like structure.
No.
And particularly if people have like ADHD, chaos and structure go together. So that's harder for them. But if someone like, if you're actually have a little, and when people hear like, oh, create a little bit of a plan for the week or write out a menu for the week, it's like, well, this is the only thing I can have. It's like, no, that's not what I've said. Like actually write out what you're having for the week and you'll see, right? You can change things. It'll give you that flexibility. You'll see, right? This is where I can have that, maybe that bar with my cup of tea in the evening as a kind of like a relaxing tool or whatever it is. But people hear plan, they think just rigid.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
I get a lot of messages just like, do you do meal plans? And I'm like, that's the bare, that's not even, most of the time I don't even give like a set meal plan. That's not.
I don't do them.
I'm like, I'll give you a sample day of what it might look like, but I'm not giving you a 7-day structure. And it actually pains my soul when I hear people doing those plans where they like, well, I got this meal plan. I actually was at that, I was telling you about the talk that I did the other weekend, and a fella actually came up to me and he was like, you know, do you have to track? Like, do you think that's something you have to do? And I was like, oh my God, absolutely not. Tracking's a tool. Like that is, it's literally, think of like a spanner in the toolbox. It's a tool that we can utilize at certain points in our life to maybe learn what's in food, to maybe help understand how many calories you're consuming. But if it becomes something that's all consuming, that's not what it's there for. We can put that tool back in the box and just realize, well, I need to go and find a different one, because there are so many ways of doing it. But basically he was saying about how he had been given a plan and it was kind of like a military vibe kind of a thing.
Okay.
Really like low carb. It was during COVID and he just could not get his head like away from the numbers and on like am I allowed
this?
What is a portion of a carbohydrate anymore? Like, I don't even know what I'm allowed to have, do you know, kind of a way. And then it just falls back into the numbers. But oh God, I went off on a big tangent there. But we were talking even there about, what did you say your lady said? Structure. Yeah, so the ADHD, that was what I was going to talk about. Something as simple as if you know that you're someone whose mind continuously spins, like I used to always write my journal when, oh my God, continuously, I was like, I can't wait for quiet and peaceful mind. That was something I would like every evening, can't wait for quiet and peaceful. I was like, I just don't know what it's like to sit and not be thinking about anything. Like I was like, can't wait for that. And funny enough, I have that now, but at the time that was all I could wish for. But a lot of people are going through that where their brain is on this like constant clock of different topics. And eventually it comes back around to food again. It comes back around to food and having that little bit of a structure. It's not, again, as you say, it's not a plan. It's like, right, well, I wrote in my notes and I said, today's plan, breakfast, oats, lunch, chicken wrap, dinner, turkey meatballs, rice, veg, whatever it is, evening, Freddo. Like you have that plan. So that way, whenever your brain comes back around to that little section of your clock, you can go to your notes and be like, oh, well, that's what I'm having. So we don't need to worry about that anymore. We can move on. Yeah. We can just move on. And it's not that you're like set in your ways. You can still change it, but it's just been like, right, well, I don't need to worry about that anymore. I have something set in action for that. Do you know, kind of a way? Because often it's on control. It's like when you fall out of control, that's when your brain starts spinning in different directions. I was telling you even before this about how when someone said something about health to me, when my mental health was really poor, I felt like I didn't have control of that. I was like, well, I can't control my cells. I can't control all these different things. What if that does happen? And then I'm like, well, actually I can, to a certain extent. I can look after my lifestyle. I can calm myself down. I can focus on getting my anxiety in a better place. I can look after my nutrition, my lifestyle factors, my exercise. And then that's my evidence. My evidence is, well, I look after myself. I eat well. I actually go and exercise and I do all these different things and I try to meditate and I journal. That's why you're fine. That's why you don't need to worry about your health, because you're doing everything that's in your control already. So by doing that, your control and your controllables, kind of similar to what we were chatting about before. We talked about a lot of stuff before this.
Yeah, we literally talked so much stuff. Like, we went from everything to die of a CEO to therapy to everything. We went on tangents. We probably should have recorded that. Probably would have got some tears as well. One of the big things that you've mentioned there and you're very big on is body image. And one of the things is about these impossible standards and impossible beauty standards that people feel they have to live up to. Can you talk about how to step away from that and how to step away from that body checking thing, which I think most people will probably do on a daily basis? Kind of like they see themselves in the mirror and they're kind of like, oh, that's there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's kind of like a bank account, right? Like I remember this when I was younger, when I didn't have any money and like you're in uni and like you're broke AF and you're like, I don't even know if I can pay for coffee today. I would actively avoid looking at my bank account, like completely just like, we're going to guess today. We're just going to hope there's something in there. And you would tap your card and be like, oh, thank fuck, like I'm all right today. Like it's okay. Whereas it's kind of the same thing with this. We do either two extremes. Either we avoid looking at ourselves because we're not happy where we are, or we go the other direction and we're obsessed and we literally just check every single day. Then you see other girls doing it in their videos and their body checking at the start of their what I eat in a day video. Or a lot of actually what I see is girls in recovery from like eating disorders, yeah, and their body checking at the beginning of their video. And that's not my speciality in terms of eating disorders. There's a lot of dietitians that specialize in that. But from what I can see, even from other people that are online on TikTok and stuff, and they're talking about these accounts, they're like, please stop doing that, because these people are following them for help and to be like, okay, well, that person was where I was at a point and now they're in a space of recovery, but actually are they? Like, you don't know for sure if that person's in recovery or how they actually feel about their body. Again, coming down to that thing I was talking about with health, like just because somebody looks a certain way doesn't mean that they're healthier and their experience in the world is actually a good place to be. And so when it comes to yourself and body checking and body image, let's not be naive. People want to look well. Like that's like on Instagram, you're posting a video, you're posting a photo. You want to look well. So you're going to tense. You're going to fix the lighting. You're going to maybe wear an outfit that you feel nice in. That's absolutely fine. But we have to understand that Instagram, tech, like everything is X 1,000, like lighting's changed, everything's edited, like they are posing to the point that they're not breathing for like 30 seconds to try and get their abs to pop out. Do you know, like there's certain wee things that as an audience and consumer that you need to understand. And I think as coaches and dietitians and nutritionists and performance, whatever, we understand that that is probably the way that it is. But a lot of us are looking at that and we're reflecting that off your own self-worth. Like you're like, them looking that way is almost a reflection of what you look like. They're like, well, if they look like that, well, that means I look terrible, which isn't the case. Bodies are different. Everybody is different. And that's like not one size fits all anyway. You look your way, but you look beautiful and well in your way. But yeah, you might have a goal of still having a little bit of fat loss, still looking a little bit leaner. I feel like we all have something that we're trying to work on or maintain. But it's understanding that we can do that in a healthy way without comparing ourselves to other people. That literally probably doesn't fully exist without them doing something extreme to do that, like holding your breath, like tensing your abs and things like that as well. And then even coming back as well to the impossibility of it, the body checking, like I wouldn't avoid, like the body checking and videos and stuff like that can sometimes just be like, oh God, like let's all just chill a wee second. But avoiding looking at yourself isn't the goal either. Like, that's not what we want to do. Like you still want to look at yourself. And something I actually would get a lot of my clients to do that have been in that space is like actively picking things that you like about yourself when you look in the mirror. Like even if it starts off with your eyebrows and you're not quite at your overall body yet, actually looking at yourself and be like, do you know what, actually I do love you, I love my body. And then thinking about your body not for what it looks like but what it does. Like you wake up in the morning and you don't have pain. You wake up in the morning, you can get out of your bed and go sit in the toilet and stand up again. You might have regular bowel movements, you might have hair. Like that's things that, and I'm not, obviously everyone has their own circumstances, but health is something that we take for granted because we're focused on body image and we're focused on everything else. But being healthy to the point where, like, for example, you can just get up out of bed and not be worried about like having cancer and having to have a tube feed and all these different things that can go on, or like not spewing blood up. Oh, just like, I know it's crazy, but honestly, just working in the hospital setting from beforehand, yeah. You know, the things that people go through on a regular basis that we're just not surrounded by. And we're in our own little bubble. And I think even just expanding what is in your bubble can be really, really good for you understanding, zooming out in the world, because we just get so honed in. And then kind of like algorithms, everything then that you start to see is based on what you're thinking. It's literally a projection of your inner thoughts. So if you're feeling sad about yourself, you like one sad quote on TikTok, all of a sudden your TikTok's filled with people and sad quotes, similar positions. And that's your bubble for the next week until you change where you're at. Same thing, if you're in some form of recovery, you like one video on recovery. That's all that you're going to see. Yeah. So we have to be really careful. And you know the way they always say, like, you're surrounded by, like, the five people that you surround yourself with, you become. Well, I always say the fifth person now is actually our phone because of the amount of time we spend on our screen. Now, obviously, this doesn't apply to everybody, but most of us are a wee bit more chronically online now. We do spend an awful lot of time on our phone. So being so careful that we're not just continually consuming stuff that's making us feel bad about ourselves. Either turn it off, unfollow, block, change it, like actively search something completely different, the opposite of what it is that's making you feel bad, so that way you can start kind of actually getting into your head what it is that you need to see. Like even in Irish culture, we're quite negative as it is, so and we have to actively be putting the positive talk in there. Like if you're in work, a lot of it is like, oh, shite by the day, did you hear the news last night? And that's there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just if that's all you're hearing every single day, and then in work, maybe people aren't happy with their body and they say, oh Jesus, I need to lose this stubborn belly fat. And then they go home and they're having the same conversations, and then they're putting on clothes in the morning and they're not happy with their outfit. And then no one knows how to take a compliment. That's what we're being taught is normal. Whereas when you do come in and you feel good about yourself and someone's like, oh, someone's feeling good today, and then it almost like takes the hand at you, and then you're like, all right, well, never mind. But we should be encouraging that. Like we should all be, you know, having the good talk about ourselves, like actively waking up in the morning and putting those good thoughts into your brain about yourself, rather than the narrative being set at negative. There's so many wee things that we can do, but it's small changes, as we always talk about, compound and over time, that will make the difference.
Yeah, I think a big thing is that kind of, when people are doing that what I eat in a day thing, is like, yeah, I don't need to see a picture of your arse first. Like just put up like whatever you're having, but that, I literally don't need to see a picture of your arse first, because it's clearly not why you're eating.
I know, but then again, it's coming down to understanding why they're doing that. They're doing that because that might be, you know, at the end of the day, we're not going to be naive, things like that. sell. They get more engagement. People look at it more because of the way that they look. So it's understanding as well how social media marketing works, how Instagram works, what people are actively putting in there. They're doing that for a reason. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? To get engagement, to get comments. And even if someone's comment's negative, that's still going to push that up in the algorithm. They're still going to get more content from that. And so that might help them grow. It might help them gain a following, which again, look, everyone uses these tools to their advantage, but often as the consumer and someone that might be in a negative headspace and that really affects you, you need to even just take a step back and be able to, like, it's not about, that's not about you, that's about them trying to sell something as well, and knowing that in yourself rather than you looking at their body being like, well, I'm going to look like that if I eat that way, because they might not even eat that way. That could be one day of the week where they had on their content calendar to record what I eat today. Yeah. So they've actively made really nice meals just that one day of the week. Then the other days of the week, they might eat baked beans and toast and you don't even have a clue about it. Do you know, there's so many wee things that we just need to be a wee bit more aware about.
There's always the unfollow button.
Hello, hello, hello. So this is not an episode. This is a service announcement. No, what I'm going to talk about today is the Female Fat Loss Program now is open for applications. So what we have seen over the last year and a half of the Female Fat Loss Program has been pretty freaking incredible. There's a reason why 80% of people who do the Female Fat Loss Program do it alone, because it works. I'm not making up those stats. I can show you stats, I can show you Excel sheets with all the information and data in them. So the Female Fat Loss Program is a unique program in that it's going to help you achieve the results you want in 8 weeks. It's going to improve your relationship with food, get rid of all that all or nothing approach, that accountability piece that you're looking for, a group of like-minded people in a Facebook group. It will give you the tools to keep the weight off. It will help you to drop food guilt forever. You'll have weekly lives. You'll have tailored nutrition, tailored calories. You'll have a judgment-free area. You'll have workouts for gym or at home that you'll be able to do your own training as well if you want to. But the most important thing is this is a program or in a product that I'm extremely proud of. It's something that is unique, and it's incredible to have Alyssa on board now that is going to help me work with the clients and do the lives that are happening on every Tuesday. So what is the program? 8 weeks of coaching, tailored nutrition, tailored training, recipe books, weekly lives, Facebook group, all or nothing mindset, goodbye. So the first thing that I want to say is there is an early bird offer. For anyone who's listened to the podcast, there's an early bird offer for you. The early bird offer is will get 20% off. So as a podcast listener, you get 20% off. So normally it is €149 for 8 weeks, where you get weekly check-ins tailored to you, individual check-ins tailored to you. Yeah, for 149. But you get 20% off that. So it comes down to €99 for 8 weeks. Every single time I've done this program, it sells out. I can already see from the amount of people that have signed up, and it isn't even advertised, that this is going to sell out like there's no tomorrow. So if you're interested in signing up around this payday for yourself and spoiling yourself and doing something for you, knowing that in April, getting yourself ready for that summer holiday that you have, and you're knowing you're in safe hands, click on the link in the show notes and be the first person to book your spot. It's €99 for 8 weeks to change your life. Drop food guilt forever, get rid of all that or nothing mindset, get the results that you've never had before, and improve your relationship with food, and stop that yo-yo dieting background that you've done. €99. I don't think it's going to get much better.
I know. And like, as you said, like the trial thing is a massive thing for an awful lot of people, and particularly if people have a disordered eating pattern. Mm-hmm. Trial is a massive, massive thing. So we can't curate that feed. Like if you look at my feed, it's literally like football or The Office. It's literally, that's it. There's nothing else. It's nothing to do with fitness. I don't look at people's bodies, whatever. I used to when I first started into fitness, but it's one of those things you have a responsibility to yourself. I had Harriet Harper on, and she spoke about like, you have a responsibility to yourself. Mm-hmm. To unfollow. You have control of that mechanism they're taking in. Because if the first thing you see in the evening, or the first thing you see in the morning is someone's body, and the last thing you see on your phone before you go to bed, you're going to re-image that and rehash that into your head, thinking that's the way you need to look. And that's going to just play around on your head, play around with your self-worth and play around with your self-esteem. But how you look has nothing. Like if you, when you die, it's not on your tombstone saying she was this weight.
Yeah.
She looked like this. She had a crack in arse. It's
if only. No, if only. No, stuff like that as well. And I know, again, we say these things and it's like, yes, get that into your head. But look, we're not going to be naive and say that we still don't want to look and feel good in ourselves. But again, it's not just a weight on the scales. It's about how you feel in your clothes. Like a lot of the stuff that I would get as well is because I used to be quite like, I had like barely any muscle. I was like a little teeny tiny woman. And I then started doing like little like bikini body guides and stuff, you know, just to try and get myself in the gym or like lose weight, etc. That's kind of where I started doing that from, was to lose weight, not for what I do it now, which is like performance. And even understanding there's a complete difference there. There is a massive difference between eating for aesthetics, doing something like those 12-week things for photo shoots, and eating for performance. But you cannot eat for aesthetics and train for performance at the same time. But you can train for performance and still maintain aesthetics at the same time. It's understanding, like, if you're going on this mad sort of aesthetic, lose body fat super fast, you're likely going to be cutting down carbohydrates, et cetera, like to a point, to no degree, where that damages your relationship with food. And you think, if I eat these again, I'm now not going to look this way. Whereas if you focus on how the exercise makes you feel, how you enjoy it, building that into your lifestyle, that's something that you do. Like, it's not that you have to like wake up and force yourself. There are some days where like we don't all want to go, but it's who you are. It's not a case of I'm just not going to go today. If you can't go one day, you reschedule it and you just go another day because you enjoy how it makes you feel. You know you're going to feel better from it. It's not that I've burned X amount of calories from that session. That then done over time, then you actually are like, do you know what? Actually, you might start off running. You might do a couch to 5K. All of a sudden, you know what? I'm enjoying this. So I might actually try and push for a 10K. Then you're like, oh, do you know what? Actually, I might build in a wee bit of strength training with this because I've been seeing on TikTok that people say strength training is really important for my bones and my joints when I'm doing this running. So then maybe that gets you into the gym 1 or 2 days a week. Then when you're in doing those sessions, you think, do you know what? Actually, I want to push this back squat a bit more. That done, focus on your nutrition to fuel for that, to fuel for how you're feeling with that. You can still look well from doing that, but you might not feel good doing another one, which is aesthetics. You can look well, but you won't feel great. That's a really important distinction, that your quality of life does diminish quite significantly by trying purely just for aesthetics. It's low calories, it's cutting out carbohydrates, whereas we can do this, make it a lifestyle, do it long term, enjoy the process. It's not something that makes you feel miserable. You're learning along the way, you're growing, you're building confidence, you're increasing your energy levels, and you actually build a love for what you're doing over time. And I always try to get that in the head. The same way, even if we look at those other parameters like metrics and what we're tracking, a lot of people just use the scale as a metric of measure, like of progress. Oh, well, my scale has gone down, so I have made progress. That is the furthest thing from good. Yeah. Kind of come back to that health where I was saying, just because you look a certain way does not mean your mindset's healthy, doesn't mean your body is actually healthy. So it doesn't, okay? Because you could have lost weight, but now you're stressed to the hilt because all you can think about is food. You can't sleep very well. Then you wake up the next day, your cortisol's through the roof because you're stressed to the max. You're in this constant fight or flight. Your body's fighting for energy. It's starting to conserve energy. Your menstrual function stops working. Your gut stops working. It's like, whoa, I might look well from the outside, but actually internally, I'm literally fading away. Do you know that kind of a way? There's so many different wee things. But that's why even with my own clients, we don't like, yes, some people are not comfortable taking weight. No problem. 100%. Let's actually just go off how you feel in your clothes, your work uniform. That's going to be the first thing you'll probably notice is like, do you know what? Those jeans I wanted to wear that were feeling a wee bit tight, they actually feel fantastic now. And I actually needed a belt this week. Or, for example, when you wake up and you're like, do you know what? I actually didn't have that afternoon slump anymore. Like, I actually had loads of energy today. Or you go training and you're like, oh, I actually have loads of energy. I got a PB today. Like, those, that's the shit there that gets you on. Do you know what I mean? And, like, taking even metrics on your waist, your hips, all those different things are actually a far better parameter of progress than the scale. The scale is something that immediately is not going to give us any benefit. 1 week, 2 weeks, it's actually over time. We might see from when you started to two months later, it's like, all right, well then maybe we can look at the trend, but your weight from week to week is going to do fluctuations. And it's understanding that as well. Like, your weight is not just your body fat. When you step in the scales, it's not just how fat you are. And I think even that language is quite aggressive.
Yeah.
This is how heavy I am. This is how fat I am. Oh my God, we changed that. This is what I weigh. because it's fat mass, it's muscle, it's bones, it's water retention, it's bowel movements, menstrual cycle. Oh my God, so many different things going on there. If you haven't had a bowel movement for 2 days, you're going to be up a kg. If you didn't drink any water yesterday, your weight's going to go down. But if you drink water again today, that weight's
going to go up. We're going right back up, yeah.
But your body composition hasn't changed from that. So it's understanding what's at play, that you can't just, because a lot of people will say like, oh, well, I lost 3 pounds the first week and then I went up 2 pounds this week. Like, I don't understand. Having that understanding means you don't let that affect your consistency, how you show up on a daily basis, because that's just data collection. You're just, treat yourself like a little science experiment, data collection. And something I always say is, whatever you've done up to now, if we're not in a good position, trust the process, try something new, try the sustainable way. There must be something in it, because if we keep talking about it and how it is a wee bit better than those restrictive ones, there must be something to it. But it's getting yourself to do it long enough to actually see those benefits. That's probably the hardest part, because consistency is probably the hardest part of it all, is actually just understanding what consistency is. I think a lot of us think consistency is perfection. It's like,
yeah, that's the problem.
I hit my protein every single day this week. I hit my carbs every single day. Stayed within my calories every single day. And again, some of us aren't tracking calories. Some of us aren't doing X, Y, Z. But consistent, that is not consistency. That's probably going to fluctuate. Even look at it across the week instead of on a daily basis. Okay, on average, was I close to my protein this week? On average, was I close to my carbs? On average, was I close to my calories? Because some days you're going to go for a meal. Some days you might skip a meal by accident and end up be under eating. But across the whole week, on average, actually, you did really well this week. But you could take your weight once a week, and it could be on a Sunday after you had the few drinks on Saturday night. Weights have gone up and you're thinking, well, that didn't do anything this week. I'm raging. I didn't lose any weight. But that's not the case. If you left that 2 or 3 days and took it a few days later, it probably is down. It's just the time that you took it at. Even something as simple as having a meal slightly later the night before versus maybe if you have your dinner at 7 p.m., you have it at 9 p.m. That's then going to affect your weight the next morning. So many wee things at play, but I just think they aren't talked about enough. I think a lot of the plans that people would have got maybe when they were younger or coming up through was just kind of like slim and worn, like actively holding back your carbs 2 or 3 days before you're weighing, like, yeah, that kind of a vibe to actively make sure that your scales were down that week. Like, that's just pure fear mongering and scare that if you're not down, you have failed. And of course, you're either going to over restrict then the following week to get it down. Then you do get it down. Then you might try and get all the carbs back in that you've actively stopped eating over the weekend. The cycle continues. Carbs for 3 days, no carbs for another day, and it just continues on, because for every gram of carb you eat, there's about 3 grams of water that goes with it. There's just so many things at play that we need to educate people on and learn.
You know what, someone's going to latch on to that and say, right, that's 3 grams of water that's going to go off the scale. They're going to pinpoint, it's like,
I know,
someone's going to listen to that as like, no carbs,
no, we need them, energy.
Yeah, but one of the things that I think what you've said there about one of the experiments I got to do with clients is, particularly around the water thing, is weigh yourself in first thing in the morning after you go to the bathroom, no food, no water, step on, and then have about 1.5 to 2 liters of water within 2 hours and weigh yourself again. Mm-hmm. And you'll see how easy it is for that scale to go up, and all you've done is had water.
Yeah.
And when people do that, and there is a fear attached to it, it's kind of like, well, the scale is going to go up. Yeah. But you've only had water. You've had nothing else. But I think a lot of people can almost have this when they go away on holidays, or they have these weekends, oh, the scales is going to go up because I'm going to do this. And we have that feedback loop, that identity thing of, because the scales is going to go up anyway, I might as well push the fuck up button really hard and make it go up even further. Uh-huh. And then you're kind of like, and then you're in that guilt shame spiral again. But I think this is really hard to do. If you stop guessing what the scale is going to read, life will be easier.
Mm-hmm. Like, just accept it and move on. Like, something I put up actually was like, even from my menstrual cycle, like the first day of my period to the third day, I lost 2 kg, 2 kilo in 2 days. Are you having a laugh? And a lot of people would look at that and think, how did you lose so much weight? Yeah. And I'm like, because the constipation that I had the week before my period was gone. The water retention that I had started moving away. I'm actively losing blood. Do you know, like, there's so many things at play there. And even I probably add a few extra carbohydrates leading up to my period in my luteal phase. And then I actually went back to having more protein, more fats, a wee bit more of a balanced diet, probably more veg, probably drinking more water. All those different things in the matter of 2 to 3 days, 2 kg. And even as you say, like, you could weigh yourself in the morning. And by the time you weigh yourself in the evening, you'll be up 3 kilo from all the water and the food that you've ate and the bowel movements that haven't moved yet. And it's just such, and who cares what it does go up by? It's gonna, yeah. If you stay consistent, if you have one night where you go for a few drinks, you have a cocktail, you have a dinner, who cares what it weighs the next day? Because you know you're going back to your normality. You know you're going back to having your lovely breakfast, lunch and dinner that has your balance in it that you're going to do throughout the week anyway. So it makes no difference because you know it's going to come back to base regardless. It's when you do those things panicking like, but what if it goes up? It goes up. It's fine. We move on because it's going to come back down again provided we stay consistent. But it's that act of, oh, it's gone up. What's the point? And then you stop being consistent. And that's what happens when we're like, oh, well, it didn't work this time. Why do I not see this anymore? Because we didn't stay consistent. It's just doing it long term, you know?
Yeah, and like weight and body image and how we feel is quite a, it's a very emotional thing. Mm-hmm. So it can bring in that kind of very emotional reaction. And we kind of lose that massive piece of perspective mm-hmm. when the negative things happen or we've had, say, one meal, in inverted commas, off plan. I fucking hate that phrase. But it's kind of like, well, you can't be on plan if you're not on a plan.
Mm-hmm. This is it. I'm good. I'm being good. I say,
no, you're not. You're being restrictive.
I was like, don't you dare. And obviously I get like all my clients, my one-to-ones, I get them to like a data collection week where they will collect like a week. They'll try their best to maybe apply like hitting higher protein intake or whatever it is that they need to do. But I'm like, we're literally, if you do not hit protein at all this week, do not, I don't care. I just want to data collect this week, see where we're at. And so then they'll come back on and they'll be like, oh, Kaylin, like we'll have the initial consultation. They'll be like, oh, Kaylin, fuck. Like, you know, I was being good like for 3 days. And then I just really messed it up. Like I got so bad towards the weekend. And I look at it and I'm like, what, you had an extra chocolate bar? Is that what being bad is? I was like, don't you dare use that language ever again. Like even something as simple as, my nose is all blocked up. Like even something as simple as changing your language from I'm being good till, oh, I was so consistent across the week. I knew I had a meal coming up. So I just thought, right, I'll be consistent for breakfast and lunch. I'm just going to have whatever I want to have when I go out for dinner. And then I'll get back to being consistent the next morning. Like that language already is so much more less aggressive, so much more chill. And it just flows better rather than I'm being good and I'm being bad, as if there's something wrong with having a meal out or there's something wrong with having a chocolate bar. Like that is not the case. Language is so important and how you talk to yourself. The same way if you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, fuck, I feel like shit. Of course you're going to feel like shit the rest of the day because we're not actively trying to change that. Like typical red car theory. Do you know what I mean? Like if we just save it and head up on the psychology. If I told you to look around the room, look for anything that's red, you see red. I can see red on your red. Chair. Red, like there's red, okay? Then if I got you to close your eyes and I say to you, right, well, now tell me everything that was yellow. You're like, well, I wasn't looking for yellow, so I don't know exactly. You're not looking for it. So we got to look for the positivity. Look for how well you're doing. Even something as simple as, okay, I had my meal out. My weight went up, but I'm back to consistency. That was something you didn't do before. That's a positive. You were able to go out, enjoy your meal with your friends, not panic over what you're having, didn't track it, just had a good time. You woke up and you went for a walk. You got water on board, took electrolytes after a night of alcohol and had a normal breakfast. That's a win because that's something you didn't do before. That is a positive change that didn't exist beforehand. So we love that. That's what we want. And then the more positive changes that you can build up, the more evidence you have that this is who you are. And that's how we start seeing identity change long term. The more evidence you have, the more proof you have for yourself that this is the person that you are. Whereas beforehand, continually going in these cycles of trying to be overly restrictive, saying I was good and then I was bad and then I went off track. That's your evidence. Your evidence now is this is difficult for you. I find this hard. I can never stick to anything. So we got to change that evidence. We got to throw out that file, start building a new file. Okay. Pretend the laptop hardware broke. We're rebuilding. We got a new one. That's kind of where we start from. So forget everything that knew you beforehand. And it's committing to the process. Like the same way you might say, I'm committing to this 6 week no carb plan. Some people then when it comes to the consistency one, they don't actually fully commit. Yeah. They're still like, oh, well, you know, kind of still a wee bit scared of carbs. And I'm like, why? I've explained this to you. We don't need to do this anymore. And it's on breaking those habits of trust the process. Trust me, have the carbs in the meal, have a larger meal. Don't be making yourself have these Tootsie Wee 200 calorie. That's not a meal. That's a snack. You know, even something as simple as that, like trusting yourself to have an actual large meal three times in the day is something a lot of people are scared of. They're like, that's a lot of calories. But actually, you're probably eating that across the week in snacks, liquid calories anyway. Try this. Let's just trust. You haven't done this before. Try it. Let's just see how you get on. Evidence base. All about
that. But one of the big things that a lot of people, like what you said there about kind of like the that regular meal thing that for people, and people will say, well, I'm craving chocolate or I'm craving sugar. I'm like, okay, have some chocolate or have some sugar for your breakfast, like pure sugar, like a spoonful of sugar, and tell me that you're craving it. Have a bar of chocolate for your breakfast and tell me you're craving chocolate right now. And it's like, you're just not eating enough during the day. You wouldn't let your kids do what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Your phone is getting treated better than you right now because it's getting charged every night. Your electric car that's costing you a fortune is getting treated better than you. So like, if you think of it that way, people kind of are realizing, okay, hang on, if I actually eat more, it's going to reduce my total calorie intake, which will make me feel better, more energy, probably feel better in myself, feel better in my clothes, less food guilt. It's kind of like, yeah, that thing that brings the consistency because you're starting to bring in that kind of trusting yourself around the foods, because the food is never the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like our brains just can't process with how much food is out there for us.
Mm-hmm.
If you there's go into
so many options.
Yeah, like if you go into a shop right now, there's probably like 50 chocolate bars you could go for. But if you're intent, if you've skipped meals all day and you intentionally go out on the way back from work and go into the shop and go, haven't eaten all day, and you're kind of like, right, I'm going to get a big bag of wine gums and I'm going to get four bars of chocolate. That's you telling yourself to do that. Ready? Right? All right, well, let's see, right? I'm going to get some fruit, I'm going to get a protein bar, and I'm going to get a bottle of water.
Mm-hmm.
See how easy you're still getting some chocolate in there from the protein bar. You're still getting a bit of fruit and you're getting a little bit more energy into it. But it's because you're trying to act like the person you want to become. It's reducing that calorie intake probably by about, if I was doing numbers right now, probably about 600 or 700 calories from doing mm-hmm. what I just said.
Yeah.
And you won't have that blur feeling afterwards. Mm-hmm. And that sluggish feeling.
Always the short term gain, long term pain. It's like, okay, the chocolate bar might be tastier, but if I've already penciled in a chocolate bar in the day, but I'm still having my meals, that's unreal. Love that. And understanding that that is literally normality. That is what we want to do. But then if you're fully pulling that back, you have an ad for 2-3 days, you almost feel like, oh, or like 2-3 meals, and you're like, oh, I've earned it now, I can have it. That's a bad mindset to have, because then you almost feel like you have to earn and like make
it's
up.
It's like a challenge to have more of it, because I don't know when my next fix is. It's like, it's exactly. Like you're jolly. You're like, you're kind of going in with the shaking hands. Like, when's the next fix coming? It's like, and a lot of people are freaking out now ahead of Easter.
Yes. And sure, I actually didn't even realize that was on.
I didn't realize it was Easter until my clients were freaking out about Easter.
Well, it was actually, my Instagram was filled with people talking about, this is my favorite low calorie Easter egg. And then they would be like, I'm just cooking, like all that different stuff. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was on this weekend.
But it's funny when PTs and PTs and nutritionists will jump on that bandwagon and making a video about Easter eggs, saying this is how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But these are the same videos that people have been watching last year and the year before and the year before, and you still haven't applied with anything you're saying.
Yeah.
So like, what I would probably advise you to do is have some fucking Easter egg and move on.
Yeah.
Or else give the extra Easter eggs to charity.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I think a lot, like, I didn't grow up in a family where we got more than one Easter egg, but I think a lot of people might get quite a few. So they would. And even with that, it's like, right, okay, who needs an extra Easter egg? You know, you don't really need more than one. But if you do, even learning some sort of restraint, for example, that actually, okay, if I have another one, let me put it up there and I can have a little bit of it every night with my tea instead of me just feeling like I have to have the whole Easter egg. Like, even something as simple as that, you're now building evidence that you can still have chocolate in the house. And you can manage that in a really good, healthy way, that it's not about not having it in the house at all. It's like, okay, can I have it there and actually have a healthier relationship with it as well? Something simple like that too.
Yeah. Like if you do, sometimes it works for people to actually get it out of the house. That does work, but it sometimes, I have a love hate with that statement as well, but I think it's running away from the problem, which is the logic around it.
Yeah. Yeah. It works at the beginning, because maybe if you're trying to instill the baseline habits, not having it there is going to be a really helpful way. But when we kind of get into the consistency, and then we start thinking, right, what can we now work on? What other things are still working and lurking in the background that we need to fix? And that could be one of them, which is like having chocolate there. Okay, does it work for me to still have it in the house and be able to kind of go there not have it, have it whenever I want to have it. Small things like that can also make a big difference for you long term, because when you're in sort of more stressful situations, it's all well and good when life's going well and you don't really have anything to worry about, but it's often when we're more stressed and there's a lot more going on, something like that where, well, I know that I can manage this, I know that this is something that I don't have to worry about, I can focus on solutions for whatever the issue is or getting my stress down, rather than resorting to something like food as some form of coping mechanism. And kind of then whatever is in the house, you just start eating it all, do you know, kind of a way, which yeah. Again, it's not that that's a bad thing to do. It's just not a healthy mindset. It's a level of disordered eating as well, that you feel like it is a mechanism for control. And it all kind of comes back down to that control again, that's something that you, and like we say, it's something you can control, but at the end of the day, if you feel like you can't stop eating it, you're not in control. Do you know?
A diet, so, and the big thing is like a diet's not going to fix that control for you. So you might, and I do find this with clients that I've had. Some people can want fat loss too much.
Mm-hmm.
And they think it's going to solve the problem, that if I look like this, I will be accepted. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for that control thing. And that's mm-hmm. often what the weight is. When you step on the scales, you're looking for acceptance. You're looking for validation from other people that, oh, I've told people I'm on a diet or X or Y diet, and they're like, oh, how are you getting on? I was like, oh, I'm only down X amount this week, or I'm up this week. You'll start to maybe feel like a failure to other people, but you're looking for that acceptance from other people. But what about what you want?
Yeah.
Focus on what you want, not what you want to think other people are thinking or whatever it may be. Focus on what actually you want out of this.
Yeah.
It comes back to what we said earlier on. It's always a feeling that you're looking for.
Always the way. Confidence, energy, like happiness. And even coming back to that too, where it's like the goal weight might be like, I'll have a lot of people that come and they're like, my goal is to lose 5 kg or something. I'm like, let's actually not focus on that right now. Let's just focus on the habits. Let's focus on all the things, you know, then consistently done over time. You know, you might lose 5 kg, but actually you might end up putting on 3 kg of muscle and losing 5 kg of fat. And then you're actually only 2 kg later. Do you know that kind of a way? Like there's other things that come into play there too. But also it's kind of like when people move away, like a lot of us, like the younger people you see now, like a lot of people are going to Australia. And actually I was sitting in the coffee shop like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I did have my headphones on, but I wasn't playing any music and I could hear them. And it was this group of lads and they were sitting there like, can't fucking wait to get out of here. I fucking hate this place. And I was kind of like, I'm literally sitting in the same cafe as you and I'm having a lovely time. Like I'm just having my white chocolate raspberry scone, I'm having a coffee. I'm like, it's not the location, it's your internal environment, it's the internal chaos that's the issue. And that was something I actually learned during the course that I did for my mental health. Was one of the things that my mentor had said was, it was like a story of this lady who'd went into a shop and it was like mall and it was like crazy chaos. There was music playing, kids running around, Santa was there. Like it was just a whole thing. It was crazy. And she had her 2 children and her husband was with her. She walked in and she was just like, oh my God, I just couldn't handle it. I ended up having a panic attack and I was so stressed about everything. Like I just got so worried. And then he said to her, he was like, well, what about your husband's panic attack then? How did that go? And she was like, well, what do you mean? He didn't have one. And he was like, right, well, if it was the outside environment that caused it, surely everyone was having a panic attack then, if that was the case. And so all of a sudden it's like, oh, right, actually we can all be in the exact same place, but have a completely different experience based on what we're seeing through our lens. And the same thing with people going to Australia thinking that that's going to change their life. And for some people it will. It literally is just something about getting more sun. Maybe they have a really good job, but some of us are going out there thinking, that's going to improve my life and I'm going to fix all my problems, which is the furthest thing, because internally we haven't made any actual changes. Just so many wee things at play that we just think is going to fix everything when we're just, again, avoiding the actual issue.
Yeah, and often what needs to change is the 6 inches between our 2 ears.
Mm-hmm.
Often. I've asked you nothing that I've written down. I've just realised that.
I was just thinking that.
Asked nothing. I've got 7 questions here in front of me. I'm like, all right, she's covered 2 out of 7. So yeah, that's what happens on these podcasts. I don't know why I even send questions over anymore. If someone has a book, it's a little bit different. Like, I'm never going to stick to these. I don't know why I spent 10 minutes doing that. So where can people find out about you on social media? Where can people work with you? And all that jazz.
So probably the main base would just be Instagram. So @B_betteryou. And then a funny fact about that, actually, it used to be Bia Better You, which is BIA Better You, which was like the Irish for food, which makes more sense. But turned out that was trademarked and I had to stop using that. So
you got sued.
Yeah, well, kind of, but I took it down before it, whatever. So I ended up, that's why it's Be A Better You, if anyone's wondering.
Ah, okay.
So Be_BetterYou, and like in there, that even in my bio, you can obviously just write to me there if you want to. That's probably where most people will write to me. Or my email is also there. You can just send me an email if you want to work with me. Or I also do TikTok, but TikTok's a bit more, bit of crack, like just day to day, life to life kind of vibes as well. Just a bit more chill. So it is.
Awesome.
It's Thank you.
Awesome. I'll put all the links into your show notes for the people can follow and people can apply for everything. But Kayleen, thank you so much for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Kayleen, for coming on to the podcast, and it's incredible. And I'm really, really hopeful that you guys have found it as useful as I have when I was talking to Kayleen about it. And as I said, it was one of those episodes that could have gone for hours. So I know Kayleen is going to be coming in to talk to the female fat loss group clients and the one-to-one clients in May to talk about why those extremes are easy and a few different other things. And it's pretty cool to see the guests that are kind of coming in to talk to my clients and our clients. So I'm really, really excited for that. So if you are interested in working with Kayleen, click on the link in the show notes, drop her a follow. And if you found this episode useful at all, please do tag us up onto your story. Please leave a review up on iTunes and up on Spotify. And as always, thank you so much for listening to the podcast, and I hope you have enjoyed it.